The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour on a Monday afternoon. Thank you for joining me. I am still haunted by something that Aaron Rodgers said in a recent interview. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. If you were listening last week, we took a couple of segments and talked about it in an interview with his girlfriend, Danica Patrick, on, I think, a podcast. He very blatantly said, hey, I don't know how anybody could believe in a God who wants to send everybody to hell. I'm troubled by that because that's such a blatant distortion of biblical truth. Scripture is very clear. God is not willing that any should perish. The devil has many, and yes, I believe in a real devil. Yes, I do. I believe in a real personal devil. Yes, I do. And the devil has two dramatically opposite lies. And that's why I tell you all the time, the devil lives in the extremes. The one lie at one extreme is that God wants everybody to go to hell. He's going to condemn every. God is a mean-spirited, vindictive, terrible God that just wants to send everybody to hell. Well, that is a lie out of the pit of hell. But the opposite extreme is just as evil and just as wicked, and it's at the opposite end of that continuum. God is loving and won't send anybody to hell. Ultimately, everybody's going to make it to heaven because God is just love. The truth is in the middle. God does not want to send anybody to hell. And if anybody goes to hell, it will be because they have rejected the remedy for sin that God has offered through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Aaron Rodgers has been deceived, and I don't blame him completely. He has fallen under the mystique of a guy named Rod Bell, who is an apostate supreme. And I said this last week, and I really believe it. I believe the hottest corner of hell is going to be reserved for preachers who knew the truth, turned from the truth, and then gave people false hope that they didn't need to repent, they didn't need Jesus. And I really believe that. And check out what Jesus said about false teachers. I am in agreement with Jesus. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers, and I pray for him, and I feel so bad for him because he has believed a horrible, terrible lie. He has been told this God of the Bible just wants to send everybody to hell. Why? How can anybody believe in that kind of God? Well, I guess I could agree with that. But that's not the God I believe in. And that's why it's so important that we understand the character of God and look at God in a balanced biblical manner. This, pardon me, This time of year, I get this cough, and I have the cough button, and I try. Anyway, I apologize. This morning, I was reading in Nehemiah chapter 9. Love the book of Nehemiah, and I'm kind of going through slow this time. I'm just drinking in what God has for me in the book of Nehemiah. And I was just reminded again of how loving and gracious God is, even in the Old Testament. We normally think of God revealing himself in the Old Testament as a God of justice and wrath. And many times he is. But he's also a God of great grace and forgiveness. Listen to this. I want to read, and I think I've got time to read it. I'm going to read several verses. Hang with me, all right? From Nehemiah chapter 9. They've rebuilt the temple. That's the book of Ezra. Now they have rebuilt the city walls in 51 days. Just incredible. And Nehemiah now is leading them in the reestablishment of worship at the temple. And he has all the people together, and he's reading the word of God, and they stand. It says in verse 3 of chapter 9, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And then let me jump over. Nehemiah begins telling the story of the nation of Israel and God dealing with them. And he picks it up at the Exodus, the whole thing of Egypt. And he says, and thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gave them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. And gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water from out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks. And in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. And then he goes on. Nehemiah said, God was so good to us. He conquered the most powerful nation on earth, Egypt, for our sake. He miraculously parted the Red Sea. He brought water out of a rock. He brought bread down from heaven. And we still rebelled against him. We forgot him. We went after other gods. We said we wanted to go back to Egypt. And Nehemiah says, and yet, you didn't kill us all. Now think about it. God have every right to say, okay, you think you can do it on your own? Fine. I delivered you from Egypt. I was going to take you into the promised land. You don't want me. You don't need me. Fine. You're on your own. How would 2 million people out in the middle of the wilderness, out in the middle of the desert, find food or water? But God never withheld the manna. Whenever they needed water, God gave it to them. I love this, that Nehemiah emphasizes God's mercy and his forgiveness. Thou art a God, this is verse 17, thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. What a God we serve. And my friend, that was on the other side of the cross. That was in the Old Testament, before Jesus died on the cross. That was before he accepted us as children and made us heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, before we were in Christ. What an incredible God we serve. And I just want to remind you, yes, there are consequences to sin, but God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. If you're away from him, run to him. He's waiting to embrace you.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Folks, it is just absolutely essential that you understand many things, but the three primary things. Number one, the authority of the Word of God. You've got to get that nailed down. We've seen the bumper stickers. God said it, I believe it, and that's it, or that's makes it so, or something. No. God said it. It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it. You believing the Bible does not make it right, because then that makes you the authority. Now, the bumper, if you got a bumper sticker, it should be, the Bible said it, and that settles it. Period. You've got to understand the authority of God's word. Second, you've got to understand the character of God in a balanced biblical manner. You have to stay away from the extremes. That's why I was so adamant in opposing the novel and the movie The Shack. It was heresy. It was and still is. I was a very vocal opponent of The Shack that sold so many copies because it presented a distorted image of God. It showed only the loving, gracious side of God and not his righteousness, his holiness, or his judgment. It did not in any way reveal that God is angry at sin. All right? One-sided view of God, half of God, distorted view of God, an unbiblical extreme. The devil lives in the extremes. All right? The Shack presented an extreme of the character of God. Now, the opposite is the extreme that Rod Bell and many of the others that follow, Shane Claiborne and others of that ilk, well, God is just loving. He doesn't judge. No one's going to go to hell. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody, no matter. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. Everybody's going to go to heaven because God is love, 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 love. Love, love, love. Well, no, pardon me. I'm sorry. I confused myself, and I apologize because I know I've just confused you. The Shack would present the unbalanced view that God is only love and has no judgment. Forgive me. The other extreme is the extreme that God is vengeful and judgmental, and he wants to send everybody to hell. There are some fundamentalists that believe that. And those are two extremes on the character of God. The biblical view of God is he is righteous, he is holy, he is just, he is angry with sin, and because of his character, he must punish sin. But he is so loving and tender and gracious that he sent his only begotten Son to give his life on the cross to die for our sins so that he could give us the gift of eternal life and so we would not have to go to hell and that we could spend eternity in heaven with him. He is that loving. So we have to understand, we have to have a biblically balanced view of the character of God. He is love, forgiveness, he is justice. We have to understand that. And then we must understand the nature of man, the nature of the Word, the nature of God, and then the nature of man. A biblical worldview, as I say so often, begins with a fallen human race, created perfect in the Garden of Eden, in the image of God, but tempted by the serpent. And they sin. And God said, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. They began to die physically immediately, but they died spiritually instantly. They were separated from God. And from that moment on, every human being born on this planet has a sinful nature in need of redemption. We must understand a biblical worldview concerning the nature of man, because that will tell you how to deal with terrorists. It'll tell you how to deal with crime. It'll tell you whether we need police and judges, whether, unfortunately, we need prisons or not. It will tell you why sometimes wars have to be fought. Because there is evil on this earth. And so God has established civil government to deal with the evil in their local community and sometimes on an international scale. But those three things, folks, we got to get right. Nature of the Bible, inspired, infallible, inerrant. The nature of God, both just, holy, righteous, and loving, and tender, and forgiving. And the nature of man, fallen, sinful, separated from God. But man that can receive the grace of God given through salvation through Jesus Christ. You get those three things right, most of the rest will fall together. All right, our AM 880 folks are going to be leaving us. Not for much longer. February, we go back to 6 o'clock. I hope you go over to 104.5 FM or listen on streaming audio. We'll be back.